All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, John, one side of the coin, full tip for that guy and the restaurant on Saturday night. Other side of the coin, 10%, and you write a smiley face on the check. Which side of the coin are you?
Heads, he gets a full tip from me. Tails, he gets that other thing from you because you're a cheap bastard.
Smile!
Smile! That's Jorge, all I'm asking.
Heads it is.
Heads it is. All right. Mace, I'm going first. No advantage comes with that,
excellent,
as you know. All right. The NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars are planning to sign QB turned tight end Tim Tebow to a one-year deal that could be official in the next week or so. Nothing is done yet. But Tebow will have a chance to make the team and reunite with his mentor and college head coach, Urban Meyer. Tebow has not been on an NFL roster for 8 years.
Right.
He has a fanatical following, so you can't bench him. If he's on your team, the media is going to want to talk to him every day. The fans are going to clamor for him to play. He has to play. Mace, explain to me what the Jags are doing here.
Well, I think what Urban Meyer is doing is he's recognizing all that Tim Tebow did for him and giving him a chance. I mean, he's always been a Tebow believer. And by the way, I don't know that this is a – maybe this works. I don't know. I mean, he didn't –
but you know what I'm saying, right? His – I mean, like, the first –
you're saying the sideshow, the circus sideshow.
Right, and I'll take it a step further. Trevor Lawrence is a rookie quarterback,
yep,
all right? If he gets hurt, I don't care who the backup is, there's going to be a clamoring to put Tebow in the game at quarterback. You know, I mean, I don't have to explain this to you.
You're saying they're going to clamor to put him in a quarter. No,
what I'm going to tell you, and you know this to be true because you had some family in Colorado. His following is indescribable. Yeah. I mean, indescribable. He used to be the guy where when he would play, the ratings would double.
Yes.
The ticket sales would go through the roof. He is a one-man lightning rod. And now you're going to bring him in. Like, you know that the media that goes to cover the Jags, even if Tebow doesn't play in the game, they're gonna go ask to talk to him after practice, right?
Sure. Yeah, they're going to talk to him.
Yeah, so I just don't
know
why you would.
They're going to talk to him about how Trevor Lawrence looks, all that kind of stuff.
Right, they're going
to
ask him about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have anything against Tebow. Matter of fact, we've had him on the show. He seems like a great guy. But I'm just saying, Urban Meyer is bringing in the biggest possible sideshow. Tim Tebow will get more attention than if he would have brought in Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that's how big Tebow's following
is. I think the Tim Tebow thing has simmered down a lot.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a while now since he's been a quarterback. He was scuffling through the Mets minor league system and wasn't necessarily drawing gigantic crowds. I think the Tebow thing has probably normalized to some degree, and it's not going to be a complete circus like it was 8 years ago or whenever he was a quarterback in the NFL. But we'll see. We'll see.
All right. It's to you.
All right. Hall of Fame trainer, horse trainer, Bob Baffert has been suspended by Churchill Downs after his horse Medina Spirit tested positive for the topical steroid cream betamethasone. Sure.
I think you're pretty close. Yeah.
After winning the Kentucky Derby. Now, this isn't the first time one of Baffert's horses has tested positive for banned substance. In fact, his horse's failing drug tests has become a running theme in the world of horse racing, and it's clear he's running out of excuses. Here is what Bob Baffert said this morning about that positive drug test. He was appearing on Fox with Bill Hemmer.
So the Preakness goes down this weekend. The Belmont is here in New York 4 weeks from now. I don't know if we have final results even before the Belmont is done, but your plan is to race in the Preakness. Is there a chance they may punt and not allow Medina Spirit to run this weekend?
Well, I haven't heard anything officially. They haven't told me anything. I know when Churchill Downs came out with that statement, that was pretty harsh. And I think they had to just, you know, it's, you know, with all the noise going out, you know, we live in a different world now. This America is different. And this, it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing. So they're reviewing it. I haven't been told anything. We're prepared to run.
Okay. everybody who gets in trouble now seems to use the term cancel culture. What do you think of Baffert's story, and do people use that term too much?
I like Bob Baffert. We've had him on the show, you know, Mace, back when you and I did our brief horse ownership.
Oh, yeah,
ownership.
We had so much fun.
He was a great guy to us. But let's look at some facts here. Betamethasone is the same drug that was found in the system of, I think it was pronounced Gamine, the horse that Baffert trained, who finished third in the Kentucky Oaks last September, and they disqualified that horse because of that test. It's his fifth failed drug test of a horse in just over a year. Fifth in over a year. I want to believe Bob, like he says he didn't give it to Medina Spirit. I want to believe him, but Mace, five failed drug tests in over a year. Doesn't the evidence speak for itself here? I mean, at some point he has to be accountable for this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does. And the idea that he's been banned from racing at Churchill Downs. He says, oh, I got canceled. No, you cheated. You cheated. There are ramifications for you cheating.
And Mace, five failed. Okay, so if this was the first time it ever happened and Medina Spirit and Bob came out and said, because he's a likable guy and he's got a lot of people like us that
he's been
dealt
a great
with
showman that, for the sport. He's
right,
been
that
really
like
good
him. He's
sport.
Won eight Kentucky Derbies.
Yep.
If he were to come out and say, guys, we didn't give it to him. There's something fishy going on here, but, you know, I have a body of work here. Check it. We didn't give it to him, and this isn't what it appears to be. I would say, all right, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But then how do you explain the other four failed drug tests in just the last 12 months?
Yeah. Did you see what Baffert's actual excuse was for Medina Spirits failing the test?
No, what?
A groom was taking cough medicine and then peed on the horse's hay. Come on, Bob. You can do better than that.
Isn't that the equivalent of my dog ate my stimulus check?
Yeah, it's 100% the same thing. 100%. All right, it's to you.
All right, Mace. Nobody
Fast
loves the Olympics more than you do. How many Olympics have you worked in your lifetime?
Eight.
Okay. So of all my friends, you have a deeper love for the Olympics than any of them. The Tokyo Olympics were already postponed from 2020. And now opposition is rising in Japan about holding the games this year. The virus and its spreading variants are taxing Japan's healthcare system. And now only 2% of the population is vaccinated.
Really?
Naomi Osaka, the world's number one ranked female tennis player, competes for Japan. She lives in New York, but she competes internationally for Japan.
Right.
She said over the weekend that these Olympics might not be such a great idea. Here's exactly what she said. Quote, I think there's so much important stuff going on, especially the past year. I think a lot of the unexpected things have happened. And if it's putting people at risk and it's making people this uncomfortable, then it definitely should be a discussion, which I think we're having right now. End quote. Let's say I leave it up to you, Steve Mason, veteran of eight Olympics. Should the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo go on as planned if only 2% of their population is vaccinated?
Absolutely should not. The Olympics should be moved. I still think there should be Japan Olympics. I just think they should push it back a year when the world is more normal. I have no idea how a developing country, or not a developing country, a first world country like Japan, only has 2% of its population vaccinated. They've screwed this up royally. And the other thing is, every athlete would have to be vaccinated. That's the only real way you could have the Olympics, because you can't have that. They all live in the same place. They intermingle constantly. They live.
Well, you and I have talked
village.
About that, and not to get too graphic here, but the Olympics has kind of its own Tinder component.
Oh, yeah.
You have a lot of young, good-looking men and women all living in the same Olympic village. All eight of those Olympics that you've come back from, you've told me stories about athletes hooking up.
Yep.
So, yeah, and this is, I mean, that's how you spread a virus.
Yep.
So yeah, you're right.
I think they should absolutely push it to 2022.
And by the way, there'd be no harm in that.
There's
no difference whether they have it in 21 or 22. Back when you and I were growing up, the Winter and Summer Olympics were in the same year.
Correct.
Every year.
Yep.
Now, recently, over like the last 20 years, they've staggered them. So if you had the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics in 2022, it wouldn't be weird. That's the way they used to do it all the time.
Yeah, that's the way it was always done. Exactly.
I'm with you. Agree.
I think they should absolutely move it.
All right, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Bono's birthday is tomorrow. He turns, John, the big 6-0.
Okay.
Now, my favorite concert that I have ever seen was U2's Elevation Tour in 2001 at Staples Center, where I happened to be in Shaquille O'Neal's box and had just a great, great time. Now, if I give you a chance to relive one concert experience from your lifetime, which do you choose?
Okay, it's easy. 1981, my freshman year of college. That's back when they used to have the mega concerts?
Sure.
Okay, so here was on the bill that night. And it started at 3. It was on a Saturday.
Okay.
Started at 3 in the afternoon and went well past midnight. All right? This was the order in which the bands came out.
Yep.
Opening act, Prince.
Wow.
After Prince, Jay Giles Band at the height of their popularity.
Yep.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers, followed by the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
That's the one I would relive.
That's
right there.
A friggin' show.
All right,
right
by
there.
The way, side note. It was before Purple Rain, and Prince got booed off the stage.
No, get out of here.
Swear to God.
Really?
Yeah, it was at the Rose Bowl. I was at the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum. I'm trying to remember which. We were drinking a lot back then.
So,
he just didn't have the hit, the catalog that he has now, and people booed him.
Quick runner-up for me is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street reunion tour in 99. I was in East Rutherford at the opening night. That's when I was living in New York.
Well, you know the significance of that particular tour, right?
Yeah, it ultimately came to L.A. and opened Staples Center.
First thing ever happening at Staples Center.
Yeah.
That's what opened the building.
It's to you.
By the way, it was real fast, Mace. Today is Bono's birthday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Bono.
Okay.
You know what, Jorge? This is the song that gets stuck in my head. Thank you very much. Gets stuck in a moment, and I can't friggin' get the F out of it. Thank you. All right, it's to you.
All right, do you want me just this question? We can kind of play it out a little bit.
Okay,
you want to hold it, and I'll give it to you next.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because we can do a segment on this. It's really interesting.
Give us a little taste, a little tease.
ESPN has a story up right now on the site about the state of baseball, and they asked each of their top baseball writers the same question: what's the biggest problem facing baseball right now? So I'm going to give you a magic wand to address one thing, but one thing only. I'll let you know what Passan and Buster Olney and Kirkchen all said, but you get to fix one thing with this magic wand, and that's going to be the question.
All right, that's good. That is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Kobe will be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame this Saturday to celebrate his legacy. We're giving away a copy of Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality. Be caller number 106 right now.
No, you didn't do that to Bergman, did you?
877-710-ESPN.
It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with Kobe. 106 means nothing with Kobe.
You win the book. Plus, you qualify to win an autographed Kobe basketball. So good luck, 877-710-ESPN. Caller number 106.
No, wait a minute. Give it some Kobe significance. How about caller 60? Because he had 60 points in his final game.
Okay, caller number 60. Fine. We'll do that.
That's
how about
81?
No, 81.
Jorge, what are you doing? Why are you
number 81?
You want to answer the calls, Jorge?
Yeah, caller number 81. Thank you very much for finding that, Bergman.
How many did I answer that one time? It was like 1,000.
He gave you 710.
Oh, that's right. It was 710 callers. That's right.
By the way, Boss Amanda, this is related to me wearing my jammies and my hoodie for a couple of days in a row. She says, quote, "You're not allowed back in the studio unless you shower and put clean clothes on. I will do the sniff test on you." Something you don't think of a boss doing.
I don't know if that's legal for her to do a sniff test. All right.
It may not be.
Well, hey, Joe Biden used to do it, and now he's president. So
sure,
there you go.
Sure. All right, so set this up.
Okay, so ESPN has a story up on the site right now. By the way, I listened to a great podcast the other day that you should listen to.
Okay.
Bill Simmons with Theo Epstein, who now works for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And Rob Manfred has put him in charge of trying to make the game more fan-friendly. And Epstein's got – they go at it for about 45 minutes. Epstein's got all this unbelievable research about how baseball is actually moving away from the things that people like. So they're trying to course correct it. But that's what this has to do with. ESPN is a story on the site right now where they ask each one of their top baseball guys, what's the biggest problem facing baseball right now? How would you tweak it? Jeff Passan says, the game is too slow to adopt change. You know, like the traditionalists have kind of a headlock on it. And the game has become too plodding. Buster Olney says, the owners and the players don't work together, and it eventually is going to blow up the sport. You know, I didn't even know that the CBA runs out at the end of this year. But he said last year was a result of the 60-game season was a result of these two sides hating each other. And until they figure out how to work together, it's just going to get worse.
Right.
Tim Keown says there aren't enough balls put into play. The games lack action. And Tim Kirkchin says the pitchers have all become too good, and they need to tweak the rules back to help the hitters because the pitching is ahead of the hitting now. All right, so I give you a magic wand.
Yep.
You and Bergman, because you guys both love baseball.
Yep.
You can change one thing right now. You can address one of those. You can address something different. What do you use the one thing to fix?
Okay, for me, and you know, I watch a lot of NBA and I watch a lot of Major League Baseball. And the one thing I notice is that the NBA does a great job of marketing individual stars. Like, we know when Russell Westbrook is going for the triple-double record.
This
and
was,
we know,
Mace, you know who Marley Rivera is? Who works for ESPN?
Yeah. She does Sunday Night Baseball sometimes, yeah.
Right. This was her. She agrees 100% with you, but I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
This was her idea, too, though.
I love the way the NBA markets itself. I think Major League Baseball does it in a really clunky, weird way. We have such great young stars in the game. Everybody should know who Ronald Acuna Jr. is. Everybody should know Juan Soto. Everybody should know Tatis Jr. And everybody, you got to market these as individual personalities. And I also think that baseball players should all, I mean, there should be, I don't know if you can make them be on Twitter, but they need to do a better job of marketing themselves.
Yeah, look at all the NBA guys that are on social media.
Yeah, they kill it. I just think the NBA is marketed so much better than Major League Baseball.
Greg, I give you a magic wand. You get to tweak baseball, but you only get to use it on one thing. What do you use it on?
I would limit the shift. I wouldn't give.
Totally agree, by the way.
Yes.
Two infielders on each. I would take the word limit out of your sentence. I would eliminate it.
Yeah, why would you limit it?
Infielders on the left side of second base, two on the right.
Yeah, I just don't want anybody. I don't want infielders in the outfield. I think as long you can move it around the infield as much as you want, as long as they're on the dirt. But I don't want them out on the grass.
Yeah, I don't want the shift. I agree with John. Two player, shortstop, third baseman on one side. First baseman, second baseman on the other side. To me, that is going to increase the number of balls in play. Because how many times do we see a hitter ground out directly into the shift? Like, they've got this thing friggin' wired at this. They know where everybody's hitting the ball. So I say getting rid of the shift is a really good idea. Did they have any other hardcore suggestions?
Yeah. You guys got to read it. But here's mine. And this isn't an original thought. This was after I listened to Epstein with Bill Simmons.
Okay.
And Epstein, I encourage everybody to listen to this because Epstein talks about the fact that they are using the minor leagues as kind of a testing ground to address all this stuff we're talking about. Like in the minor leagues, there's one season where the first half of the season, you're not allowed to move an infielder to the outfield, like Greg was talking about.
Right.
And in the second half, they're going to add two infielders on each side of second base. So they're basically going to eliminate the shift over the course of a season. But he talked about one minor league where they did this last year. And he said what inspired it was what Epstein tells people like us that want to help change the game.
Yes.
He said, here's your homework. Go back, go on YouTube, go on, you know, ESPN Classic or whatever the equivalent is now, and watch an old baseball game from the 70s or 80s. And he said, you'll be shocked at how different it is from today. And he said, the biggest thing you'll notice is, he said, he went back and watched Louis Tiant shut out the Reds in a, I think it was game one of the 75 World Series.
Yep.
And he said, the thing you notice about Tiant is he throws a pitch every 10 to 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So in the minor leagues, they adopted a pitch clock, and it's 20 seconds. And he said, at first, everybody complained about it. But he said, they've all adjusted. The hitters don't step out of the box. The pitchers don't step off the rubber. Everybody, and he said, if you watch a baseball game now, he said, you can go. He said, one of the pitchers that threw a no-hitter this year was 60 seconds between pitches.
Wow.
You know, just taking his time, stepping off the rubber. He goes, you don't need that. He said, if we threw a pitch every 20 seconds, more balls would be in play, more action would happen. And he said the number one complaint they get from fans is not enough athleticism. Their favorite things are triples and steals.
Yes.
And he said triples are at an all-time low. Steals are at an all-time low. He said these are all things that we can address. But he said where he would start is with this 20-second pitch clock, because he said if you go to a baseball game, and he goes to a ton of them.
Yep.
He said if you sit in the stands, particularly young kids, after 15 or 20 seconds, if nothing happens, you're going to check your phone. You're going to go to a concession stand. You're going to, especially if you have to wait 2-3 minutes. He said, we've addressed the pitching changes. We've made it harder. He goes, the things people hate the most are strikeouts and pitching changes.
Yes.
And those are way up. So he said that that's the issue. That he goes, we need more consistent movement. You know, and there are some people that say, well, we need games are too long. It's not, Epstein doesn't think the games are too long, but he said that, he goes, the action is lacking.
Yeah, I
there's
completely
a difference.
Agree with him. Yeah, yeah, there's a huge difference. You know, the one thing that I think is at issue here, and I brought this up before, is the hitter's mentality. I think players need to be coached differently from a hitting perspective. I mean, the ball is deadened to some degree. So we're not hitting home runs the way we were the last couple of years when we had like 6,500 home runs. To me, is overkill. And instead, we're getting guys who aren't good situational hitters. Bergman, what were we like? 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position, I think, yesterday in that San Diego, in the game on, where were we yesterday?
Anaheim.
Anaheim, yeah. And Anaheim.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Nine Stop. Walks. 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. I just think everybody is always swinging for a home run instead of being good situational hitters. So that's one thing I think players need to get smarter about. But, John, I could not agree more with the sort of stagnant nature of the game and how things move slowly. Now, if you look, if you're at a game, there is a 20-second clock out in the outfield.
They just don't adhere to it.
They don't enforce it, right? And I mean, what would you do if somebody doesn't throw? Would it be a ball? If
right.
you don't throw within that 20
Correct.
Seconds, would it be ball one?
Correct. And that's, I mean, I just think every 20 seconds, he says, if you go back and watch that Louis Tiant game, you can't take your eyes off it.
Oh.
Because the pitches are coming fast and furious.
Plus, Louis Tiant was like one of the most fun pitchers.
Remember,
to watch
he threw him. His he closed his eyes and threw his head to the sky like Fernando
yeah, I mean,
did.
He would literally turn his back to home plate while he was pitching. His windup would turn him towards center field. He was so much fun to watch. We don't really have anybody in the game like that. But the speed at which we see pitches, yeah, I get that. 877-710-ESPN. You want to jump in on that? 877-710-ESPN. Dodgers hit the skids. They are 2-8 on this road trip.
Well, so
2-8.
Hold on. We don't have to change the game itself so much as like what you guys are talking about. It's really, I've heard you talk about it a ton of times too, Mason. It's about the ball. Like either they have the ball where it's too light, where it's a home run, or it's a strikeout, and that's it. Or right now where it's nothing. Everybody's striking out. Everybody is grounding into double plays because they deaden the ball.
Well, one thing that would help, And, well, let's open the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. One thing that would help, I'm telling you guys, this would be a big deal, is they got to go to this electronic strike zone. I don't care that the umpires have a union and they'd make a big deal out of it. The strike zone's got to be the same for every pitcher in every game. Once that happens, once the strike zone's the same, the hitters will figure it out.
Right, and they'll then it'll start be consistent.
Right, and they'll start hitting the ball more. Another thing that was in this article, get rid of all the stupid unwritten rules.
Yeah. I think we're done. Are we not done with most of those? Have we not celebrated enough bat flips and enough Trevor Bauer sort of doing that strut off the field and all that stuff? I think we're sort of normalizing that kind of stuff, which is great for the game.
Yeah.
Be flashy. Be exciting. It's okay. Express yourself. All right, we'll get some calls in here next. Plus, John, I think this is interesting. The way people feel about themselves, would you say you are better than everyone else you know? Don't answer it. Would you say you're better, just quote-unquote better, than everybody else you know? We got that coming up, too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, get ready, because I'm going to at least one more game in this homestand that's coming up. And I don't believe in the Mason Jinx. I don't think it exists. I think I wiped it out when we won the World Series, frankly. I can't believe I still have to deal with this after all these years. Lou Riley. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Pedro Torres of Long Beach. He has won Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality, and he's qualified to win a Kobe basketball, autographed Kobe Bryant basketball. We're going to give that away on Friday, so congratulations.
And the reason,
Pedro,
by the way, that we're doing this is Kobe goes into the Hall of Fame on Saturday.
Yeah. By the way, who's doing all the presenting and the talking and all that stuff for Kobe?
I'm told it's Michael Jordan.
Wow.
I don't know if that's changed, but last I was told it was Michael Jordan.
Wow. Good. That's cool.
All right,
That's
so what cool. did you ask about being better than everybody else?
Okay, so this is interesting. In a recent survey of 2,000 Americans, what percent of them do you think that humankind is inherently good? So what percentage of Americans believe humankind is good?
73%.
81%.
Okay.
So people generally believe humankind is inherently good. How many people do you think consider themselves to be fundamentally a good person?
87%.
75%. So there are 25% of people out there saying, yeah, I'm not good. I'm not a good person. Mm-hmm. I'm not passing muster.
I know a few of those.
Here's the best one. What percentage of people do you think believe that they are better than everyone else they know?
Besides you?
Yeah. I believe I am better than everyone else I know. How many people, what percentage do you think answered that way?
50%.
46% of people believe they are better than everyone they know.
The world is full of, you and I break right on lines here. You believe that with every fiber of your being, and I could care less.
Yeah, well, do you think you're better than everybody else?
I do not.
Do you think you're better than everyone you know?
No.
What percentage of people do you think you're better than?
That I know.
Yeah, what percentage of people...
Okay, can I quantify who I know, just for the sake of the question, like everybody in my phone?
Yeah, everybody in your phone. Are you better? What percentage are you better than?
30%.
30%?
Yeah.
What about just this show? You can include Lindsay.
Oh, well, just the show is me. I mean, the show is obvious. I mean, I, you know,
the
with
show,
all,
there's
with all
four
humility.
There's four of us basically on this show. Mason, Jorge, Lindsay, and me.
And I'm the
my
boss.
My answer, 50%, but I won't tell you who.
Come on. You don't have to say who, man.
I want to argue that Jorge is better than all of you.
Nah.
Jorge is fantastic.
Greg, I could agree with you, but I'm not telling.
Yeah, in fact, on the Mason and Ireland power rankings, I would do it this way. Number four is Ireland. You do well. I mean, that's still, you're in the top four.
Yeah, that's good.
Number three is Lindsay. Number two is Jorge. And then, I obviously, with all humility, number one is me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what if you base that, Jorge, on people who actually show up for work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Mason straight four.
Well, Mason's four. It's close for the other three. During the pandemic year, I'm clearly number one because the Lakers have basically been in season for a year. But between me, you, and Lindsay, it's close. And then Mason's a distant.
No. Jorge is first. He's been here basically every single day through all of it.
Jorge,
even
is a
when
strong,
you took a vacation,
he's a strong two, really strong two.
The pandemic.
Pandemic.
I've been this since it started.
All right. Yeah. So Bergman, did you prepare Radio Tinder? You know, you have a lot to live up to. It is the highest rated portion of the show.
Well, not while I'm here.
Yeah, maybe not while you're here.
That's true. Don't blow that.
Don't blow
that.
We don't.
We need all the ratings we can get.
Yeah, by the way, Lindsay's in Hawaii right now. So congratulations to her. I think if you follow her on the IG, as they say, on the gram, she's in Maui right now.
Oh, good. She didn't go to Oahu.
Yeah, she's in Maui, according to her Instagram.
By the way, who's taking care of Chewy while Lindsay's in Hawaii? Not that crazy roommate of hers.
I think she's got, the roommate with the fat cat.
Spooky.
She's got a roommate with a fat cat.
But that dude's out there, man. He's weird. I feel like I should go save Chewy.
Save Chewy? Yeah. Hey, this came across today. The Dodgers have announced that Papa Cantella is the supplier now of Dodger dogs and premium sausages. Teams have sold more than 100,000 Dodger dogs through the first 13 games at Dodger Stadium this year. This is the curse of Farmer John, I'm telling you. Who the hell is Papa Cantella? Have you ever even heard of this?
No, spell Cantella.
C-A-N-T-E-L-L-A. Right, Cantella. Papa Cantella.
Papa Cantella. But it is the world, according to their website, it is the world's best Italian sausage. So
that is their website, yeah.
It is not. And they're from Vernon. Isn't that near where Farmer John's from?
It is from near where Farmer John. It's like hot dog capital of the world out there.
Yeah. Okay. So, but Papa Cantella violated the number one rule of business,
which is
never follow Sinatra.
Oh yes, you're right.
So
you can't follow Farmer John.
So, for example, if Staples ever gives up their naming rights to Staples Center, you don't want to be the next one in. You want to be down the road. Like, people still, like, Jorge, what's the name of the place where the Ducks play?
Honda Center.
Okay, most people miss that.
Yeah, it used to be the Pond.
Right, most people still think it's the Pond. It's been the Honda Center for 10 years. You know, so Farmer John, if I was Papa Cantella, I would do a media blitz to get my name out there, because if not, everyone's just going to assume Farmer John is still there. That's the way that thing works.
Yeah, unfortunately, everybody knows, and it's the curse of Farmer John. That's why we're in the skids right now. That's why we hit the skids.
That is nothing.
Just not the same. I'm going
to
boycott Dodger dogs all year long. I'm going to go to Dodger games. I'm going to get my nachos. I'm going to get my Diet Coke. I'm going to get my Michelada, and I am going to boycott
Dodger
dogs.
Come on, man. You got to either get the Helmet Sunday or the Kula Koo. You can't go to Dodger Stadium and
what is the chosen beer for a Michelada, Jorge?
It varies. I like my own Modelo.
Yeah, Modelo, I like it with Modelo too.
Yeah.
Modelo's nice. John, do you know the Michelada?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had one at Dodger Stadium. I had one at a party once.
Yeah, they're good. It's like beer and hot sauce for all intents and purposes. Beer
lemon
and
juice
and
beer.
Spicy.
Yeah,
tomato.
He was close. Sorry, give him a break.
It's delicious, is what it is. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Fast Track. Mason,
Radio
Ireland,
Fast Track. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's Radio Fast Track.
It's Radio Tinder, you dope.
Radio Tinder. I'm off my game today. Have you noticed?
I have noticed, yes.
Yeah, I'm off my game. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it is Radio Tinder time. Bergman's filling in for Lindsay this week. Bergman, what do you got?
All right, so Luka Doncic on TNT last week said that he hasn't been the same this year and that he needs to stop complaining after he got his 15th technical foul. Then last night, he got ejected for a nut punch on Colin Sexton. Yes. Swipe right or swipe left on Doncic's behavior this year on the court.
Well, he's an unbelievable player.
Unbelievable player, but he has been one of the whiniest players in the league this year, to the point where he's got 15 tees, and the nut punch probably should have been his 16th.
Right. I don't understand how you can get ejected from the game but not be assessed a technical. I would think that an ejection would be worth two technicals, especially punching somebody in, you know,
the junk
below the belt. Yeah.
Yeah, the junk.
But we'll see. Like, Kobe used to get 14 or 15 technicals a year. Westbrook gets that many. Some of these guys are just, it's in their DNA to complain about calls.
Should he have gotten a 16th technical for the nut punch?
Oh yeah, but that's not the rule. You can be thrown out without being assessed a technical.
So weird. How can you be thrown out without being assessed a technical?
It's a good question. I don't know. By the way, did you see the video of that?
Yes.
The fact that he was surprised he got ejected is the biggest surprise. He was tussling with somebody and just whacked him. Colin Sexton, I mean, it was a deliberate punch right to the nuts. What did you think was going to happen, Luka?
Yeah, that's weird that you can be ejected from a game and not have it be a technical. It seems like that should have been the 16th technical, and he's gone for a game, but stupid rule.
And then after that game, he also said that he didn't do it on purpose, which how did you not do that on purpose if you watched that video?
If you watch the video, it clearly looks like it was.
Oh, it's totally there.
I mean, his hand was in a fist. But anyway, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who you guys love very much, says that she is absolutely down, in capital letters, absolutely down, to make more Veep episodes. Swipe right or swipe left on more Veep episodes.
It ended great. And I guess this is a small thing, but Mace, do you remember the very, very end of it?
They showed
everybody at her funeral and what had happened to him over the 30 or 40 years. But I don't think that would stop you from coming back into it. It was a brilliant show.
Oh, an unbelievable show. I would love to see it come back. It's one of the funniest shows, I think, of all time for me. And, yeah, in the final episode, they flashed forward many years to Selena, her funeral, and Tom Hanks died on the same day.
And so took all her thunder.
Yeah, took all her thunder. But I think they can go back and do the intervening years. I think it would be fantastic. I love that show. David Mandel is just a friggin' genius, the guy who wrote most of it and directed a bunch of episodes. And the cast is unbelievable. Yeah, I would love to see that show come back.
So here's something to just consider. Julia Louis-Dreyfus started on Saturday Night Live. She didn't have a great experience there, but she was on it. Then went into Seinfeld, then went into The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Yep.
Then went into Veep. She has more Emmys than any female star ever.
Yep.
Most versatile comedy actress of all time. I mean, if you say best comedy actress of all time, I think Lucille Ball probably starts the list.
Yep.
Tina Fey was great on SNL, was great on 30 Rock.
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, but three different hit shows plus SNL. I think she's number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's got more nominations and more wins than Lucy, which is unbelievable. And she's not done it the easy way. She's done it for three different shows she's won Emmys for. Seinfeld, New Adventures, and Veep.
I used to play basketball with Peter Melman, who, Mace, I think you had on your culture pop podcast.
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy. So he was one of the main writers on Seinfeld. And what Melman used to tell me was, he said all of his favorite top 10 episodes of Seinfeld had what he used to call good Elaine. He goes, if you get good Elaine into a script, it's almost always a hit episode. In other words, that although Kramer was the quirkiest, George was, you know, kind of a driving engine for it. Jerry was actually the straight man on that show. When you centered things around Elaine and had good plots around Elaine is when he felt you got the best Seinfeld episode. So she's one of the great comedy stars of all
time. Yeah, she is. By the way, Melman is responsible for writing the great episode called The Contest.
Right, where they all decide who can go the longest without satisfying themselves.
Yes, which is a classic. All right, Bergman, what do you got next?
Also, Dreyfuss is now in the she's now in the Marvel universe too. She was on Falcon and Winter Soldier, and she's
right. I forgot about that. Yeah, she was in Falcon and Winter Soldier,
and she's going to continue apparently too. So she's going to have a much larger role, is what they're saying. So that's
nice.
Always finding something to do. All right. So Elon Musk on Saturday was on SNL, and you guys were so excited to see him this weekend. So I'm sure both of you watched it. Swipe right or swipe left on his performance?
I liked it. I'd swipe right. I think that I've read reviews are very mixed. Some people were surprised that he was as awkward as he was, but I've seen other interviews and TED Talks and stuff with him and knew that that was him, that he was kind of quirky. Mace, I enjoyed it, thought it was good, but I come from a caveat of I love SNL and it's one of my favorite shows, so I might be biased. What did you think?
Well, it was the highest rated SNL of the year, so obviously there was a lot of interest. I personally love the fact that they grabbed somebody completely out of left field and made him the host. They've had great success with that. I had no idea that he had Asperger's. I had no clue that he had Asperger's because he said right at the beginning that he wouldn't be looking a lot of the cast members in the face, which I thought was interesting. I thought the one where he dressed up as a doctor was just almost unwatchable. But his monologue was really funny, and I love that he bagged on Dogecoin once he got to the Weekend Update set. I thought, really good job, really interesting, really fun. I understand he had a terrible take on COVID, was ignoring it at the beginning, and people are upset about that, and he's a billionaire, and billionaires have enough. But I thought it was a very, very interesting and fun show, so I would vote swipe right on Elon Musk.
By the way, I loved the open, which was Miley Cyrus singing like this really heartfelt song about your mom.
Yep.
And then they would keep interrupting the song with a cast member and their mom. And Heidi Gardner comes out with her mom and just looks at the camera and goes, really? How could you not write me a joke for this sketch? And then she goes right back to singing.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really funny sketch. It was a good cold open. Yeah, but I say Elon Musk, yeah, go out and do a little out-of-the-box thinking. I like that.
I mean, he was okay. I didn't think he was very good himself. Then the skits were just all right.
But you watched.
I did
watch.
Exactly. Yes, I do. I watch every
You do. Yeah, I never miss Saturday Night Live. But I thought it was good. I liked it.
All right, you got one more?
Yeah, I got one more in you. Yeah.
All right, so speaking of SNL, Pete Davidson has done very well for himself with the ladies, as we all know. It's kind of a shock, but he does. So he was on The Breakfast Club the other day and gave his secret. He said,
what's The Breakfast Club?
That's a big morning show in New York. You've seen clips from it all the time. All the politicians go there. It's a pretty legendary show.
Yeah, it's a hip-hop station. They do very well. So he says that right off the top, I'm like, hey, I'm nuts. Here's all my issues. Here's what I do. Here's the therapist. This is what happens. Is this secret that he's giving away, swipe left or swipe right on this secret?
Are you kidding? If that was true, Mason would be Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. It's true.
Mason, you got to pour all out there as soon as you meet somebody, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just spill everything out. You spill the tea, as Wendy Williams would say.
Yeah, Pete Davidson has, Greg, to your initial point, has hit the ball.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
With power. Like, he was engaged to Ariana Grande and went from her to Kate Beckinsale, who was like 20 years older than him. And, I mean, that dude, whatever it is, he has it. I mean,
well, we have all heard what it is.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Honesty?
Yeah, honestly. Didn't hear that story?
Oh, no, I was kidding. I have heard the story.
Yeah.
All right, so the back story is Ariana Grande was doing a chat, and one of her fans said, she was talking about one of her songs, and like, hey, I love your songs, blah, 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 blah. And other fans were asking her about Pete Davidson, and one of the questions was about one of her songs, and the question was, how long is it? In other words, like, is it 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes long? But Ariana answered it as if the question was about Pete.
And yep. Now,
and she answered it in a very complimentary way to him.
Yes,
and
yes.
And ever since then, Mace, he's the Milton Berle of his day.
He's got Milton Berle. Yes, he was legendary for that. So here's one thing about Pete Davidson I just read last week. So, you know, Alec Baldwin goes on Saturday Night Live all the time, and Pete Davidson, he's in good shape. He's in good shape. And Alec Baldwin, who's a little bit generally
portly,
generously sized. Yes. I don't want to say fat, but he's generously sized. He said to Pete Davidson, how do you do it? And Pete Davidson said, I do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups a day. And Alec Baldwin started doing it. Next time he saw Pete Davidson, he saw a huge difference. And Pete didn't want to tell him that he completely made that up. That's not what he does at all. He just wanted to give Alec Baldwin an actor. 100 sit-ups, 100 push-ups, and you'll be in shape like me. Baldwin followed it, and it absolutely did work. So Pete Davidson doesn't do it, but that's one good way to get yourself into shape. 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups a day.
I'll try it starting tomorrow. Sounds
yeah.
good.
I'll give that a go. I'll give that a go. Bergman, are you done?
Yep, that'll do it.
That'll do it?
That'll do it, folks.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next for you, John, a very interesting list about the funniest movies of the 21st century. So since 2000.
Okay.
I'm going to put that to you coming up. Also, Lakers, Anthony Davis looked spectacular on Friday and again on Sunday. Can they dodge the play-in tournament? We'll get into that too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.